Praise the Lord. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, that doesn't sound very happy. Oh, my goodness. We got some work to do this morning. We're not going to actually turn to every scripture you see up there. A couple of them I will make reference to, especially the last two. And it's for your reference if you want to write them down. I am going to start in a scripture that is very well known. You can turn there or not. It's one verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this glorious, glorious time that we come together. Thank you for the gift of song that you have given. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the creative gifts as they operate in your children, Lord God. This morning now we come and we bow our hearts before your word because it is authoritative. It is filled with life and power to change us and to transform us. Those here who have walked with the Lord the longest, we still need transformation. There's still change to be done. There's still work to be done. Things to be done that we need your help, Lord God, for we can do nothing apart from you. Now, Lord, I can do nothing myself apart from you, and so I come and I yield myself in this moment. Fill me and anoint me, Lord, that I might speak a word of truth this morning that would help carry your people into this new year, filled with vision and power and life as they move forward. We thank you, Lord, for this. I pray that, Lord, that you would receive worship and honor, even in every word of this message, Lord, in the majestic and wonderful and mighty, matchless, holy name above all names, we pray, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something today that you're going to think, unless you listen and just understand the context, you're going to think, well, Pastor Mark, you've never said anything exactly like this. You know, we walk a fine line in ministry and the study of the Word, and excuse me, even as students of the Word, because as we follow the truth of the Word, it's easy with the slightest deviation from the whole counsel of the Word of God, it's easy to fall in a ditch on one side or the other, to get in error. And in my preaching and in my ministry that the Lord has given me, I have been very careful. I've been very careful to steer clear of the prosperity message because it is an extreme the way that it is presented in the churches today. And so I have very carefully stayed away from many things, even though many times, even when you find something that has gone off into the ditch, there is a core element of truth that someone took at some point and began to preach, but then they ran too far off on one side and they carried it into error. I'm balancing this morning. As we enter into a new year, I believe the Lord wanted me to bring this, but I'm having to begin by giving these disclaimers. You know, and I know as we look at the Word of God, that God is above all. He is sovereign, amen? Amen. Glorious in all of his ways. And we don't ever want to elevate man so much that we compete with the glory of God, for the Bible says that he will share his glory with no man, right? But I want to tell you this morning what God thinks of you. And I want to challenge you as you enter into a new year, no matter what plans you feel like the Lord has given you, things that he has put upon your heart to do this year, new tasks. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, I gave you a word for this new year. That word was shift. I believe the Lord is shifting many things for many of you, and we have to be open to his change. But I want to talk this morning about how God feels about you, His design for you as you enter the new year. I have a lot of scripture, so I'm going to move as quickly as I can. And I want you to see three things this morning. I want you to see your worth. I want you to see your position. And I want you to see the provision that God has made for you. So in Jeremiah 29, you all know this verse, verse 11. I'm going to show you the context of it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now I want you to soak all this in this morning, all right? I want you to literally soak this in to your spirit this morning. For God here was speaking not to people in comfort and ease, but He was speaking to people who were in captivity. They had been taken as captives from their homeland and taken into Babylon. 70 years have been fulfilled, and God had promised that He would bring them back out. And He is speaking now to Jeremiah. And again, I'm going to read these words. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. And in the New International Version, it says prosperity. To give you prosperity and not to harm you is what it says in other translations. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Receive that this morning, because we're going to build a lot on it. And so we see that God, if God can speak that to people who are in a very desperate situation, what can He speak to you? Some of God's greatest works are born out of your times of trouble, your times of sorrow, your times when the enemy is assailing you, when there's opposition, or in your mind there is confusion. And I might ask you this morning, because I think that sometimes we can run into error not understanding what God thinks of us. We always keep it balanced. We always keep it that He's on the throne. But just listen this morning. And what I'm giving you this morning, I'm going to do it in a whirlwind. You can take this and you can study it for a month. Let it be your devotional scriptures if you don't have anything right now. And let God speak to you about what He wants to do with you in the year ahead. When you look in the mirror each morning, or any time as you pass by the mirror, I'm asking you today, what do you see? When you look in the mirror, I know that there are those in the sound of my voice who are self-loathing, who despise themselves. There are those of you who cannot stand your own self. There are those of you who look in the mirror and you think, what a terrible, terrible person. There are those of you who look in the mirror and you are so beaten down by the enemy of your soul that you have no hope. There are those of you, when you walk by the mirror, what do you see? You see failure. And you're afraid to think any better of yourself because you think that you're supposed to be so humble. And I talk a lot about humility. But that you're supposed to be so humble that you dare not say, God loves me the way I am. He loves me. He has a better plan for me, but He loves me right now. As I look in the mirror, He loves me.
Yes.
He loves me with a love that cannot even be fathomed. Right. When you look into the mirror, what do you think of yourself? And I tremble, because I don't ever, ever, ever want to preach a man-centered gospel. That is error. And we are not to love the flesh nature, because it is the thing that wars against us. But when you look in the mirror, are you able to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I love you. Sounds strange, doesn't it? I love myself. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm very careful with that statement because we're not to build up our ego. But there's a pure love, and I'll show you why. And you may say, what does this have to do with the new year? It has a lot to do because I believe God is going to shift some things, but you have to believe that God is for you.
Yes.
You have to believe he's for you, not that he's up there trying to tear you down so much that you can't even accomplish anything because you're such a bad person in the eyes of God. You're the redeemed of God. And the price that he paid for you, as we will see, is so immense.
Yes.
And I'm going to say some things you probably never heard me say in this way before, though I've not said anything contrary to this. But this year, as you enter this new year, I want you to understand that God has natural blessing for you and spiritual blessing for you. He wants to bless the work of your hands in the earth, and he wants to bless the thoughts of your mind in the heavenly realms. He wants to bless the things that you're doing as you pursue this life, whatever career you believe that he has placed you in or thing that he has called you to do. He wants to bless it. He wants it to be filled with multiplication. He also wants to bless you in ministry, in service to him, and in understanding the thoughts of God and receiving revelation of the Lord, or I would say illumination of the things of God in the words, in the word of God. He has so much for you that he wants to do in your life. So when you look in the mirror, I'm going to challenge you this morning. When you look in the mirror, begin to receive what God has deposited within you as he wants to transform this life of yours into something beautiful for him. How many of you know it is always a process? And right now, if I said, okay, I want each one of you to take a turn and go in there and look in the mirror, that process is far complete from complete. But God's just looking for yielded vessels. And he's not looking at you saying, I can't love you right now the way you are because you're not complete. You haven't gone everywhere that I want you to go and done everything that I want you to do. And you've not changed the way that I want you to change. He sees you finished. His spirit is in there on the inside working and changing you day by day. But the Father looks at you and he sees the Son. He sees the robe of righteousness. He sees what he has already put within you, and he sees the finished product of what he's going to do in you. He loves you just as much as he loves his own son, Jesus. So, in Psalm 139, we step into holy ground in the word of God that just will blow your mind if you take some time besides this morning to read it and to think about what God is saying and what David was saying to the Lord in this passage of Scripture. And in this passage of Scripture, I want you to begin to see your worth before the Lord. Stop beating yourself up. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop trying to compete with somebody else. Stop comparing yourself with somebody else. And be whom God has called you to be. Know your position. That is number one this morning. Know your position. I'm sorry. Know your worth as we look at Psalm 139. You know, being an artist, I recognize a masterpiece when I see it. And every single one of you, no one escapes this. Every single one of you is a masterpiece created by the Lord. And you say, yeah, but we fell. There was a fall in the garden. In spite of the fall, I'm not taking away from the fall. Sin will come in and it will ruin. The devil, Satan wants to destroy the image of God within every single one of you. And when we allow sin to reign in these mortal bodies, that's exactly what happens. But when you submit yourself to the Lord, and you become a child of God, we see that in spite of what sin has done, there is still that remaining image. There's still that reflection. There's still that deposit where the Lord puts His Spirit within you. And each one of you, according to what we're about to read, is different, unique, wonderful. You're a masterpiece made by God. I want to encourage you this morning as you enter the new year. I want you to set foot on a little different ground spiritually. And I want you to begin to see that God is for you, and there is nothing impossible, Jesus said, to those who believe. And why live a shallow life? Why live a shallow life? Look at Psalm 139. David says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. But notice the sovereignty of God and His omnipresence in your life. There is nowhere you can go that He's not there with you. Praise God, now that you're a believer, His presence is always with you. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You know, this psalm goes from beautiful to more beautiful. It just can't get any better, and then it does. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Praise God, now that we're believers, He doesn't willingly let us escape what He desires for us. We start veering and He starts hedging us in. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, but it's His love. He's hedging us in on each side and He puts His hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Even the night shall be light about me. Do you understand what that is saying? That in your darkest pit, there's a light of Christ that is brighter. The darkness cannot overwhelm you. It cannot overtake you. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, God. That's what He's saying. But the night shines as the day. Darkness and the light are both alike to you. Think of David, shepherd, writing this. And then think that anyone could say that this is not the inspired word of God. This is beautiful beyond comprehension. How did David receive this except by the Spirit of God? For you formed, now listen to the insight that he has here. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Here David is looking at how he was formed in his mother's womb, and he finds that it's beautiful, that it's good. He's not, in spite of his own failures, which were great, he is not tearing himself down. He's seeing what God thinks of him, and he's receiving it. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Look in the mirror when you go home today and say, God, I see this and marvelous are your works. Some of you won't be able to do that unless you ask the Lord to help you, because you're so used to thinking evil of your own self that you can't just easily receive this. Marvelous are your works, Lord. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, Lord. You knitted and formed me in my mother's womb, and this is a great and beautiful thing. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. What he's saying, that here in the earth realm, the lowest part of natural realm, in the forming of my body within my mother's womb. Isn't it amazing that God can take a human being and create another being inside of that human being and then bring that one forth? He's saying this is beyond comprehension. This is so wonderful. I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, listen as you enter a new year, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. God has your days this year already fashioned for you to step into. And you're going to see he has works for you already fashioned for you to step into. He has a purpose for you already fashioned for you to step into. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Every day when you wake up, you're still with him. You don't just go into his presence and then leave, as I talked about last week. You don't go to prayer and say, oh, I felt the presence of God and now I've left. No, he's with you all the time. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked. You'll have trouble with this, but this isn't our subject this morning. But you have to understand what he is saying. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. I'm amazed still today at Christians. You know, God's enemies take his name in vain on TV all the time and in movies, and we pay them to entertain us with it and watch it. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? But he says in 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. How incredible. What an incredible passage in the Word of God. Know your worth this morning. You are fearfully, wonderfully, skillfully, and purposefully made. For approximately 9 months, you were hidden away in secret in the secret place of the womb. It's a pattern. In the secret place of the womb before being revealed. And it's a picture of what will happen whenever God begins to enter in and do a work in your life. That it is first in the secret place that God does his wonderful works before you bring it forth, before it is manifested in your life. God begins to speak in secret. He begins to do things in the secret place of your heart. That's what he wants to do right now. As we enter a new year, he wants to do a new thing in the secret place of the Most High, where you are shut in with God, where you meet with God before he ever manifests it in your life, where others may see it, where before it's given birth, before it comes forth before others. He does his greatest miracles in secret before he ever brings them forth in reality. I want you to see this morning in this psalm that God invested thought, time, and skill in creating you. God has already invested so much in creating you, each one of you uniquely different. God invested too much. Now listen to me. God has invested too much in your life for you to live a shallow life. God has invested too much in you for you to live a small life. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Mark? If God is living within you and he has invested in you and he says that you are infinitely of great worth to him, so much so that he would pay the price of the sin debt by sending his only son to die on the cross for you. That is the measure of how much you are worth. He has not created you and invested in you in order for you to live a bored life. I'm amazed when I hear people say, I'm just so bored. How can you be bored? How can you be bored if God thinks so highly of you and he has plans for you? Listen, I'm talking about even your business plans for this year. God cares. If that is the direction you feel like your life is going, you feel like God has called you to start a new business or to do a new thing, God cares about every detail of that thing. And that verse that we read first in Jeremiah says that I want you to succeed. I want you to succeed. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but for a future and a hope. Your value is intrinsic. That means that it is within you by the very nature of God having created you. It's inherent. It's inherent. Nothing has to be done. The world doesn't have to suddenly look and decide, you've gone up in our estimation. Now you're worth something. No, it comes with the package of God creating you and God coming to live within you. You are of great worth to the Lord. Now this challenge, each one of these three, this is number one, the New Year challenge for you would be to agree with God about your worth. To stop thinking bad. You see, it is very possible that someone listening to me today could even be so far gone in their self-loathing that they want to take their own life. And the Lord would say to you this morning, why? Why? I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Why rob yourself of the great gift that I have put within you and that I want to increase within you? See yourself the way God sees you. Stop questioning what God has established. You're not an accident. You're not an accident, and God is not trying to bring you down in destruction, but he wants to build you up in life. He wants you to have a life that has impact, a life with meaning, whether it's in that, or though it is both of these things, it is in the earth realm where you do business or where you work, where you go to a job every day. God has put you in a place to give you influence. You know what I think about the influencers on YouTube. I'm amazed that someone would call themselves an influencer. I'm amazed that someone would put that tag on their influencer. But at the same time, for years, those of you who were around years ago heard me preach it many times. I didn't call you a self-proclaimed influencer, but I said Every one of you has a sphere of influence. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? What kind of influence do you want to have? Do you want your influence to be negative, or do you want it to be exalting Christ and making him known? An influence where you impact other people's lives for the Lord? God wants you to be a person that his very influence emanates from you in your life. Accept, receive the worth that he has put upon your life. One of the greatest tragedies is a wasted life. One of the greatest tragedies for a Christian is wasted years. I don't believe in living in regrets once we have repented. You know, some people say, I would go back, I wouldn't do anything any different. Well, I would. Otherwise, why would I have repented? There are a lot of things I would do differently. And there are many, many years that I would not have wasted, I hope. You will regret wasted years. But thank God for his grace that he is able to redeem the time, the Bible says. So 2026, let it be a year of time being redeemed. You know, some of you are young and some of you are older. If you're young, make the years right now count for the Lord. And let him be your help and your sustainer, and let him build something great and wonderful and beautiful in your life. Let it be something you can look back every year and say, look what God did, instead of saying, look what I wasted. For those of you who are older, and you say, but I have wasted so much, then let's go into turbocharge this year. I don't mean running yourself ragged, trying to do good works just to please God, but I'm saying apprehend what he thinks of you. Apprehend what his plan and purpose are for you, and live life to the fullest for God this year. The second thing I want you to know is your position. Turn to Psalm 8. Now next week, who knows? I may talk about repentance and dealing with sin. This week, I'm telling you, love what God is doing in your life. Look in the mirror and say, thank you, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. And know that God has called you to be somebody in his kingdom that does impossible things by faith, and know that he loves you and he wants to give you great things. In Psalm 8, against the background of creation, God begins to speak something amazing again. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now listen, when I consider the heavens, your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, when you walk outside on a starry night outside of the city and you look up and you can see the Milky Way and you see stars just amazingly scattered across the sky, and you know the vast distances that we know now of space, and you know what it's like to a degree, and you look up and you consider all of that, you can think easily the same thing. Lord, we're so insignificant, it would seem. We're just little specks in this almost infinite universe that we can't even see the ends of. And it's It's just beyond comprehension. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Now listen, because I'm going to read this and then I'm going to invert it. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now you know in the old covenant, angels were God's servants. And they were called actually the sons of God. They were called sons of God in several places in the Old Testament when the morning stars shouted and sang at creation and the sons of God. It was talking about the angels when they worshiped and praised God. They were the sons of God and man. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the servants of God. In the New Testament, it's reversed. Because here it says that you made man a little lower than the angels, but in Christ we are higher than the angels. And the Bible says we will judge angels one day. So ultimately we are higher than the angels. We are right under God, therefore. We are higher than the angels. In the new covenant, we are called the sons of God. And the angels are now called servants. It's reversed. So listen at this again. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. I'm going to, with trembling, say it this way. You have made him only slightly lower than you, God. Higher than the angels. Now, when you look at the vastness of space in the context of this psalm, David says, what are we? And then he begins to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You've made us just a little lower than the angels. Which in reverse is saying, you have made us higher than everything in creation, except for the angels in the old covenant, and in the new covenant, except for God. Higher than everything except for God. And you will read this. The Bible teaches us that we are God's highest creation. We do have to say that with humility, but it doesn't mean we can't say it. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't receive it this morning, that in spite of our fallen nature, redeemed sons and daughters of God, that's what we are, made just a little lower than God and a little higher than the angels now. Look at what God says about you. You have crowned him with glory and honor. How many of you go about your day feeling established with a crown upon your head before God? I am a royal son of God, or a royal daughter of God, and I have authority. I have honor because God has made me this high. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. This speaks first of all of the Messiah, in whom God put all things under his feet. But then the Bible says that we are co-heirs with him. We inherit with him the same thing, and that we are seated with him in heavenly places on the throne of God. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. In the New Testament, we find that the shift takes place, that all demonic things and Satan himself, all of these are placed underneath our feet. We have authority. He says, I give you power over all authority, over all the power of the enemy. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Can you receive this? Can you receive this morning? This isn't a study in New Testament authority, but I'm telling you, we have authority in the name of Christ. We have authority over all created things in the name of Christ. Now, we don't exercise that except as the Word tells us to. It doesn't mean I can go out and I can command the sky to turn green instead of blue. That's not, we are authorities under the one authority of God through Christ. And what he says we have authority over, we have authority over. You have been crowned with glory and honor and given dominion and authority. You are not a spiritual peasant. You are royalty, a son and a daughter of God. You're not a victim of your circumstances. So many today with a victim mentality. You're not a victim. You are vice governor under Christ, vice regent under a king. And this brings us to the thought for this particular psalm, and it's a question. What needs to come under your dominion this year? What is dominating you that should be under your feet? What needs to be brought under your dominion this year? I know that many, many in our church don't ever think that I am picking on you. I want to help you. I love you. But our church is plagued with anxiety and fear at times. And our society is plagued with it, and it's like a cancer running throughout the population of the nation. It's like an infection that has taken hold. It is not your birthright as a son or daughter of God. It is not what God wants you to walk in. He wants you to walk in freedom. If anxiety and fear are dominating your life, turn it upside down this year, because the Bible says God has put all of these things under your feet. You say, Pastor Mark, but you don't understand anxiety. Oh, yes, I do. Because a number of years ago, the enemy began to attack me with anxiety, with panic. And it wasn't what I thought that other people were. I didn't understand it, because I thought it meant you were so anxious about something in the moment that you were overcome with it, or that you were panicked because of your circumstances. And it's from living under anxiety and stress for so long that even when you come out and you're not under it anymore, an attack can hit. Your body is rebelling. It's a fight or flight syndrome. And the Lord gave me freedom from it, because I recognized it, first of all, as a work of the enemy. I know that goes counter to a lot of medical advice, but I'm telling you that it's not God's will for you, and it comes from the enemy of your soul, because it wants to rob, it wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And when it comes, you have to learn. God will show you how to do it. I won't tell you how to do it. The Holy Spirit will show you how to do it. For me, I had to laugh at it. I had to laugh at it when it came and say, Satan, you're not going to do this to me. You're not going to destroy me. Doesn't mean it instantly went away, but it gave me relief. And I would laugh at it and I would say, you're not going to destroy me. You're not going to do this to me. And after a time, it slowly left. For a long time, I would recognize it when it tried to come back, and I would simply have to fight it again. You see, anxiety comes, I know of at least two ways. I don't perhaps know every way, but two ways that I believe are scriptural. Number one, thinking like the world. Get your thoughts lined up with the Word of God. thinking like the world, because the world is filled with fear and anxiety. And that's where it has come from. The enemy has, like yeast, has multiplied it throughout society, and now it wants to rob you. It comes from thinking thoughts like the world and believing like the world and being afraid like the world. Then secondly, it comes from some sinful practice at times where you open a doorway to your mind, whether it's being involved in occult things, astrology, Ouija board, those kind of things, or whether it's just a sinful thought life, not being surrendered to the Lord. It opens a door, and you close that door through obedience to the Lord and repentance, renouncing the things of darkness. How many of you believe that the Bible says, or believe what the Bible says when it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Some of you are letting it prosper in your life. Don't let it prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. What else? What else might be dominating you that you should bring under your dominion this year? Temptations that you can't seem to overcome, that you yield to, and they're dominating you. And the Bible says, Jesus said that when we sin, when we practice sin, we're a slave to it. But he says that it shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's what Paul says. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So there's no temptation so great that the Lord won't give you a way of escape, the word says. You are to dominate it. The Lord said to Cain, sin is crouching at your door, and it wants to master you. And that's what it's like. Turn to Psalm 1. You know that fairly new, contemporary Christian song. This is what you need to be singing. I'll no longer be a slave. I am a child of God. I think it says, I'm no longer a slave. You need to say, I will no longer be a slave. I am a child of God. God's children are above all of these things. You know, it's interesting. Someone has said, when you fear God, you fear nothing else. When you don't fear God, then you fear everything else. I want you, thirdly, to know your provision this year. In Psalm 1, we get an illumination in the Word of God and the heart of God about the provision that He has spiritually, and it flows out into the natural life. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now you can take your life and you can measure it by these three. It's a progression. Those who walk, those who stand, and then those who sit. Those who walk, move about, and you get your counsel from society, from the ungodly. You listen to what they say. You begin to think like the world, as I was saying a minute ago. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. You begin to settle, you begin to stand, you'll plant yourself. If you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll begin to stand, plant yourself in the path of sinners. You'll be where they are. You'll be where they are. You'll want to congregate where they are. You'll want them to be your best friends. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Then you sit down, you settle, you dwell. You dwell among those who mock God. But blessed are those who don't walk with the ungodly, who don't stand with sinners, and who don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But instead, in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Love the word of God. He shall be, Now, this is what God has for you in 2026 if you come into alignment with what he is saying. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Oh, I said the word. Prosper. Prosperity. Whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. You feel like your life is being just destroyed and blown away? Listen, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You need to know in our first example your worth. You need to know in our second example in Psalm 8 your position. And you need to know here your provision. God makes provision for you to prosper. He makes provision for you to be fruitful. I believe that in the hierarchy of important matters, yes, first of all, he is speaking of spiritual things. He wants you to prosper spiritually. He wants you to know what flows from him through you to do the works that he has ordained for you that we'll see before we close in a moment. But it flows out. If you are a man or a woman of God, a son or a daughter of God, it's going to flow out into your work. It's going to flow out into your creativity. It's going to flow out into your visions and your thoughts of things that perhaps you might do. You might change jobs. You might start a business. You might do something that the Lord has given you the capacity to do. And you need to understand that if you do it as the Bible says, and you do it as unto the Lord, that's what he says to do. Whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, do it as unto the Lord, then he wants to bless the work of your hands. It says that this tree which the righteous are like is planted by rivers. There is abundant, constant, sufficient supply. The tree doesn't go searching for water. It is positioned there. It is planted there. If you're in Christ, you love the Lord, and you're in his word, he plants you. And you're there where there is a place of constant flow and supply that fills your life. Now listen, that tree by the stream, in the natural we would see this. Sometimes there's a drought. Sometimes the stream gets a little low. Sometimes it may seem to even dry up for a season, but it always comes back. That's the way it is with the Christian. Because we are emotional and because we are human beings, sometimes even though we're planted by the streams of living water, sometimes our eyes get off. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we don't, what, feel with our emotions the presence of God. Sometimes it's like the ocean tide, and it ebbs and it rises and it seems to come and go. But spiritually, we are placed and we are planted where it's always available. And it's always there for the one who is seeking it. You don't go by your emotions. You don't go by your feelings. You go by faith in what the Word of God says. And so you're planted, and there is provision for you, but it carries over into the natural. God will supply what? All your needs. Amen. All of your needs. You know, we look at these promises in the Word of God, and the unbeliever mocks. And some Christians even look and say, ah, that can't be true. But it's been tested and proven by men and women of God, including myself. And I say that with humility, who have trusted God for provision for life. Who said, God, I'll give you what your word says I should give you and what your spirit says I should give you. I don't believe in the new covenant. It's necessarily the percentage. You might start there, because why would you give less than the old covenant? But you give whatever God says to give. God will take care of you. The old hymn says, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will supply all of your needs. I've always said to you, I'm not a word of faith preacher, but I'm a faith preacher. There is a place for standing in faith and seeing God's miracles and seeing his provision come to pass. Why would you live a shallow life? Why, as a believer, would you live a life without that? He said in the Old Testament, he said, try me, test me, or prove me in this. Will I not open the windows of heaven? And it applies to every single thing in the realm of reception of the things of God. That what you receive from God and what you give to God, I'm not talking about money now. I'm just saying there's this ebb and flow in our life of we give to God, God gives to us, and he loved us first. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. While we were still sinners, he died for us.
Yes, he did.
He loved us even when we were in that sorry, miserable state in rebellion, and called us his enemies. Still, he loved us so much.
Amen.
With a perfect hatred, he hated our sin. Yes. But with a perfect love, he went to the cross for us.
Amen.
In order that we might have everything that he has designed for us. In this new year, the action for you is to evaluate your position. Are you planted by the water? Are you planted by the water? Do you receive the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you meditate on the Word of God? Do you allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart? You can't walk with the Lord and keep your heart closed up. And you can't walk with the Lord and say, well, you can change this, Lord, but not this. We delight in the Lord. We meditate upon what he says. He transforms us in the inside. And then what happens? Fruit. Success. I just don't even have the words. I'm not like David. These words, you know, he said in the Psalm, I think it was in Psalm 139, he said, such knowledge is too high for me, I cannot attain it. And yet he wrote it by the Spirit of God. I don't even have the words to say anything that profound and that beautiful. But I look at you and I think of the ones who will listen to this message. And I think God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you. You know in your heart. I don't know what's the place for you or the thing for you, but there's a higher. There's a higher. There is a come up higher, as the Lord says. And there is a flow that he wants to release through your life. And there are good works. We're not going to turn to it, but Ephesians 2:10, and I know I skipped one. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created for good works that he ordained for us before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he already looked at you. He knew you were going to be created. He was going to create you. He knew the blueprint, and he knew the pattern that he was going to put in you. He knew the gifts that he was going to give you, the talents that he was going to give you, the capacities that he was going to put within you. And now he wants to draw it out and use it. Now he wants to do this. Look this way. He wants to pick you up, and he wants to pour out of this vessel good things. Influence to those around you. You won't have to tag influencer on your name. It will just happen. You know, when I once taught leadership classes, I spoke to those who said, well, I don't really want to be a leader. Let me tell you something. You don't have to call it a leader. If you follow Christ, others will start following you. And you are a leader, whether you know it or not. And you can either be leading someone away from the Lord or leading them closer to the Lord. You parents, it's easy to spend all of your time trying to teach your children what not to do and how to behave, and I know it's important. But put more of your energy into teaching them to love God. Amen. And to know who they are. Yes. I'm not saying build up their ego when they're being egocentric. But I'm telling you, teach them that God has great things for them. Teach them that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, that they are the highest of God's creation. Teach them to come to Christ with simple childlike faith and to love Him. Show them reasons to love Him. Show them why they should love Him. And show them what the Word says about their future and what they may do. If they follow Christ. As this new year progresses, seek the Lord and look for the opportunities to do the good works that He has ordained for you. Let God's work in you be original. Don't copy somebody else. Be the unique person that God has created you to be. As I said earlier, stop comparing, stop competing, and stop copying other people. God already has the thing prepared for you. Don't go and try to make something. Find out what God has prepared, what He wants from you. In Psalm 90, verse 17, David says, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands this year. Ask God to establish the work of your hands, not just spiritual activities, but all work is consecrated to the Lord. In fact, you know, right now, a lot of our nation and a lot of people are just really, really eyeing socialism, and they're thinking, oh, yeah, we want, and with AI, we won't have to work at all. You know, I like eccentric people, okay? I've always liked odd people because they're just unique. And so it doesn't mean I always agree with them. So understand that when I say I like Elon Musk, doesn't mean that I agree with him on everything. And he recently made the statement that with AI, no one will have to work. They'll be able to just explore the things that they want to do, because it'll all be done by robotics and AI. Let me tell you what, it will be the most damaging thing that could ever happen. God created work for a reason. And He said, 6 days you shall work. 6 days you shall work, but one day you rest. Your work is blessed by God. It is blessed by God, no matter what it is. As long as it's honest work, it's blessed by God. Lord, establish the work of our hands. Every task should be done as unto the Lord, Lord, let your beauty this year rest upon my labor. Rest upon my work. And for those of you that I know that you're trying new endeavors, you're working on things that might be profitable for you in the future, commit it all to the Lord. Say, Lord, establish the work of my hands. Put him first. Put him first. Ask him to bless the work. And while you're listening to everybody else's plans about how you should do it and how it will work, ask God for his plan for how to do it. Let him show you how to do it, that it would be blessed and that it would prosper. Work in the Lord, not just for the Lord. As you discover your purpose, life becomes richer. I want to close with this declaration and with a closing verse. You are God's masterpiece, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are crowned royalty, given dominion and purpose. You are strategically planted, supplied for fruitfulness. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. The work of your hands can be established by God's beauty upon you. The question for the year ahead is not what will I accomplish, but will I yield to what God is already accomplishing through me? This is the year the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, not because of what we will do, but because of who we already are in him. If you want to jot this down, Psalm 90, verse 17 says, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. As we close this morning, as we walk out of here, I want you to go and I want you to understand that, yes, we are in humility submitted unto a great and mighty God. We bow before him, and we are the strongest when we're on our knees. We are the highest when we are bowed low, but that does not take away from the fact that he has elevated us through the cross and the resurrection. He has crowned us with glory and honor. He loves you where you are right now with an everlasting love. He has good plans for you. You need to step into them this year. You need to believe that God is for you and not against us, and that no weapon that the enemy forms against you shall prosper. And as is quoted by the prosperity people so often, you are the head and not the tail. God wants to prosper you. Follow him and let him do it in you. Amen. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. And I don't want to take away from your glory in any way, but I thank you that you have shared that glory with us. And one day we will receive a glorified body, and unbelievable things will be our future in you. Help us to have submitted hearts. Lord, as we enter this new year and you begin, I believe, to do some shifting in our lives, changing some things in our lives, help us to receive all of the good things that you want to do. When the enemy attacks, don't let us fall into despair. Help us to believe that it's just a bump in the road, to stand against the enemy and to see you do battle for us, that we might win. You know, our president has said, you're going to win so much, you're going to be tired of winning. Lord, I believe that is the lot of the Christian. Let us win so much, and let us never get tired of winning for you, Lord. In that wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.